But behold, I shall take these plates which contain these prophesyings and revelations, and put them with the remainder of my record, for they are choice unto me. Words of Mormon, chapter 1, verse 6. Hey listeners, this is Nick from Book of Mormon Central, and today's podcast addresses the question, how is prosperity defined in Nephi's small plates? In Doctrine and Covenants, section 10, verse 45, the Lord declared, Behold, there are many things engraven upon the small plates of Nephi, which do throw greater views upon my gospel. Mormon expressed a similar view when, after discovering the small plates of Nephi, he declared, Behold, I shall take these plates which contain these prophesyings and revelations, and put them with the remainder of my record, for they are choice unto me. Some may naturally wonder what Mormon and the Lord himself found so significant in Nephi's condensed record. One likely possibility is that Nephi's small plates clearly outlined the covenant relationship that the Lord had defined for his people. In a famous promise directed toward Lehi and his posterity, the Lord declared, Inasmuch as ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall prosper in the land. But inasmuch as ye will not keep my commandments, ye shall be cut off from my presence. Steve Olson found that Nephi, in recording the initial fulfillment of this promise in 2 Nephi chapter 5, recognized 9 different ways in which his people did prosper in the land. Number 1, obeying God's law, and we did observe to keep the judgments and the statutes and the commandments of the Lord in all things according to the law of Moses. 2, domestication, and we did sow seed and did reap again in abundance, and we began to raise flocks and herds and animals of every kind. 3, preserving sacred records. And I, Nephi, had also brought these records which were engraven upon the plates of brass, and also the ball or compass which was prepared by the hand of the Lord. 4, bearing and raising children. And it came to pass that we began to multiply in the land. 5, securing adequate defense. And I, Nephi, did take the sword of Laban, and after the manner of it, did make many swords, lest by any means the people who were now called Lamanites should come upon us and destroy us. 6, constructively using natural materials. And I did teach my people to build buildings, and to work in all manner of wood, and of iron, and of copper, and of brass, and of steel, and of gold, and of silver, and of precious ores which were in great abundance. 7, worshipping at temples. And I, Nephi, did build a temple after the manner of the people of Solomon. 8, requiring industriousness. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, did cause my people to be industrious and to labor with their hands. And 9, providing for righteous leadership. And it came to pass that they would that I should be their king. But I, Nephi, was desirous that they should have no king. Nevertheless, I did for them according to that which was in my power. These points are significant because, as Olson explained, they permeate Mormon's abridgment in both positive and negative senses. For instance, in Helaman chapter 12, Mormon mentioned prosperity 3 times while highlighting the following items: material abundance, wealth, adequate defense, peace, safety, welfare, and happiness. Mormon then followed up by mentioning behaviors that resulted in the denial of these blessings, such as foolishness, vanity, evil, iniquity, boastfulness, slothfulness, pride, disobedience, ingratitude, and rebelliousness. Whether mentioning them in isolation or in clusters of related concepts, as in Helaman chapter 12, Mormon repeatedly highlighted Nephi's definitions of prosperity throughout the Book of Mormon. Sometimes his message was more about how the Nephites or Lamanites were failing to obtain their promised blessings. At other times, his intent was to show the fulfillment of the Lord's promises. In any case, the point here, concluded Olson, is that prosperity in the Book of Mormon is a unified concept, not a collection of disparate qualities. While it's possible that Mormon could have obtained this unified idea from some other record, it seems likely that he learned them directly from revealed knowledge recorded on the small plates of Nephi. After demonstrating Mormon's extensive use of Nephi's definition of prosperity, Olson explained, the sacredness of the Book of Mormon narrative derives not only from the spiritual value of particular contents, but also, and perhaps more importantly, from the conscious crafting of these contents into a coherent narrative in accordance with the divinely revealed perspective. Considering that the Book of Mormon was written for our day, we should pay special attention to this sacred thematic unity. As we reflect upon Book of Mormon stories and recognize the Lord's consistency in blessing and prospering His covenant people, we can have confidence that those same blessings can be ours. It should also be recognized that to prosper in the land is a promise directed more to collective groups than to individuals. Olson noted that even during times of righteousness, individual Nephites suffered from poverty, illness, ultimately death, physical handicaps, and other ills of mortality. In other cases, a good portion of these societies became rich, proud, and wicked. While certain individuals or classes of people may have seemed to prosper in strictly material ways, the broader concept of collective harmony and spiritual prosperity was absent from the people at large. Thus, the Lord's covenant assurance of prosperity is not a guarantee that individuals who keep the commandments will inevitably gain material wealth, good health, or a trouble-free journey through mortality. Nor is it a decree that the wicked will never seem to have riches or good fortune. Instead, it is a promise that Zion-like societies who collectively keep their covenant obligations will receive a variety of material and spiritual blessings. As the people keep the commandments, they naturally care for the poor, the needy, and the disadvantaged. In this spirit of charity and mutual cooperation, they collectively prosper. Nephi's outline of these promised blessings and Mormon's inclusion of them throughout his abridgment offer a clear view of what the Lord is promising His righteous followers today. Those groups who collectively keep the Lord's commandments will find that peace, happiness, and prosperity will ultimately be theirs, for true prosperity is in and through Christ. Among the sacred teachings in the small plates of Nephi, this is surely one of the greatest, choicest, and most influential on Mormon's record. Thank you for listening. To find out more, please visit BookofMormonCentral.org and then click on Know Why.